It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. Microsoft 365 Consumer is also here, but Paul and Mary Jo explain why you may not want to pay for it. There is an alternative. We'll also talk about Yammer. Whatever happened to Yammer? And finally, Windows 10 2004. We're this close. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly. Windows Weekly comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. Stay in control when it comes to your company's access points and authentication. LastPass makes enterprise security simple for your remote workplace. Check out LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 669, recorded Wednesday, April 22nd, 2020. Friendly Flying Monkeys. This episode of Windows Weekly is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Now that a lot of you are working from home, it's even more important to choose a VPN you trust to protect you from online threats. For 3 extra months free with your 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/windows. And by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter knows we have to work to stay strong, connected, and focused. To find the right people for the right jobs, go to ZipRecruiter.com/work together. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest Windows news. Paul says stone soup today. I disagree. We're going to find some fun things to talk about. That's Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com, LeanPub.com. America's best known and most loved curmudgeon for Windows. You're the Andy Rooney of Windows.
I thought you were going to say America's most prominent manscaper.
That's later, Paul, after we send you the kit. That's Mary Jo Foley. She is all about Microsoft.com, her ZDNet blog. And, you know, I have to say, I don't know about you. You probably have contact with other people during the week. But I look forward to Wednesday when we get to get together and talk. It's fun. It's getting together.
I know.
It's chatting with friends. I enjoy it. Yeah. You know, we get the update from Lower Macungie Township. Violence, which sounds to me like a Mr. Rogers neighborhood kind of a place.
You know? It is. Yeah. But you know what? Honestly, during these times, this is not a bad place to be. And we're really lucky in that my neighborhood is the type of neighborhood they would never build again. You know, they always stack homes up right next to each other with no trees and everything. This thing is kind of a winding area with the tree. The houses are far apart. There's lots of trees. And so just for going outside and walking or whatever you're doing, it's safe. You know, it's nice.
Yeah. It's probably safe in New York, too. I doubt there's a lot of people running around, you know,
right.
I don't know.
Trouble. No?
Last Friday, I was out and I felt like I was in some zombie movie because
exactly.
It was like me and a bunch of people who I was kind of iffy about having approached me. And I'm just walking around. I'm like, where is everybody? Okay. Are there any tumbleweeds going through the streets? Because it feels like there should be.
I am legend. You know, like Will Smith's going to go by with his dog.
On the other hand, it feels like that.
I'm enjoying the peace and quiet, I have to say. I've been bicycling to work because there's no traffic. It's, you know, it's, I've been really sort of, I should not say this, but I kind of like it. I wish it would stay this way.
Jeez. Well, I'd like my daughter to be able to go to college.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah. What is she doing? So she's graduating, huh?
Yeah, I mean, technically, I suppose she's already graduated,
what
right?
Are they
it's
doing?
Pretty much over.
Yeah. They're not, there's no walk, right?
It's no nothing. Yeah, I don't know.
That makes me sad. I feel bad for this.
Yeah, I know it's tough.
Yeah, because that's something you know, such a big deal.
I just want to go food shopping normally.
I mean, we go. I think about once a week. It's full on mask time, obviously, but we have nice. That's the other thing here. We have local markets that are
they're not crowded.
Really nice. You know, the food supply here is great.
Yeah, it's the not. Same. Same way up here. Yeah, not in New York City, I'm sure.
No.
But no, it's the same way here because we're in farm country, so there's great produce and vegetables and stuff. But there are lines outside the store. Lisa
is driving around, you know, Trader Joe's line down the block, because you can only have so many in at a time, and they have to 6 feet apart and all that. So she kind of is driving around. She finds a store where nobody's in front.
Pick your times.
Maybe not the best
store. Pick your store.
Yeah.
We did our first local wine pickup this last weekend.
Nice.
And they had a really serious procedure. We, you know, you ordered, I think we ordered on the phone, and then you call them when you arrive and you open your hatch. And then you get in your car, and after you're in your car, they come out with the box and they put it in the hatch and they go back inside. And after they're inside, you go out, close the hatch and leave, you know? And so it's all, there's no signing of receipts or anything. It's all, it's just done, you know? And it's sad, right? Because you see that we know this person, right? So she comes out, she's all covered like in a beekeeper outfit. And, but on the other hand, we're able to get it, right? And that's kind of nice too.
I'm not sure it's sad. I think my take on this is, look how we pull together in a crisis, and how, you know, it's still pretty voluntary. You know, you're not going to get arrested. Well, maybe you are. I don't know. But I think people really, they're not doing it because they're afraid of the law. They're doing it because it's the right thing to do. And I think most people, I choose to think of it as kind of positive and encouraging. That
I agree. I unfortunately, the media is going to focus on the idiots who are protesting and whatever state capital. And
it's a and that is the unfortunate thing about the 24-hour news cycle and all these news channels is they just have to cover anything. And you get 20 people in one spot yelling crazy slogans, they're going to act as if it's 1,000. And
I know.
I don't think that's the way. I think America's doing pretty well, believe it or not.
I'm surprised. Yeah. Look, I live in a purple state. I mean, there is obviously some stupidity that occurs in Pennsylvania, even where I live. But I drive around. I drive around. I barely ever drive around. But I drove with the time I drove last weekend or whatever. You see people in cars wearing masks, and it's people are, you know, they're pretty
taking
much
it seriously, and they're doing it.
Yeah,
a lot of young people are doing it, not because they're at such big risk, but to protect people like me. And I'm very grateful. Right. I feel bad for the people out of work. I feel bad for the high school seniors. There's a lot of people struggling, and for that, it's horrible. But nevertheless, you see, what human spirit really is in tough times.
Sure,
it comes through.
Yeah, no, that's what I tell my kids right up front. You know, it's like when you learn what people are all about during a crisis.
That's exactly right.
And and sometimes that will be disappointing, you know, but sometimes it will be inspiring. And I think by and large, the way that we as a people have reacted to this is positive. It's nice.
Yeah. We have one nitwit troll, who I guess is home from work, or maybe he got laid off.
Yeah.
And so he's decided, you know, to tweet like 20 times a day. And it's like, dude, I feel sorry for you. You know, it's like, this is what you choose to do. It's just very strange.
So there are always going to be those out there. I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, there's Call of Duty. Don't you know? but again, 99.9% people just amazing, just really, really neat. It's funny though, because when you're passing people, and you saw me come in with my helmet, my mask, and my glass, you're passing people, you can't really smile. And so you can nod, and I raise my eyebrows to show I'm smiling, but it's still kind of this, you know, blank face that you're showing the world.
The other thing, though, is on a really local basis, the one thing that we can all do is kind of try to help the people who are right around us.
You know,
so
I agree.
My wife always texts the people in the circle when she goes shopping, and there's an older couple across the circle who are afraid to leave, frankly. And I should, you know, the guy has had all kinds of medical problems and whatever. And, you know, we always pick something up for them. And they learned how to use Zelle, which was entertaining, so they could pay my wife back or whatever. And but it's nice, you know. It's
I've been teaching people how to use Venmo.
Yeah,
there's we introverted geeks are a little ahead of the curve, so we have to help those who are.
But that's
less
the role we can play. We can help those people.
And we had we had our 15th anniversary on Sunday for the first episode of Twit, and instead of throwing a big party, nobody was in the studio, but we donated a chunk of change to local COVID charities and stuff. And I feel like that's, you know, as the fortunate ones who are still working. Mm-hmm. Maybe not working at the level we'd like to be, but we're still working. You know, we got to reach out. Everybody's got to pitch in. And I think if we'd all do that together, we can get through it. So I'm going to choose to think of it in a positive way. You know, we were too young to have, the greatest generation. They were our parents and grandparents.
Yeah.
But, well, but you know, we have our new
Sure.
I think we'll have stories to tell our grandkids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I, like I said, I, if you had asked me how we would, as a people, would have responded to something like this, I never would have guessed.
No.
That we would have done what we're doing. Yeah. It's, you know, we as a country, maybe we moved too slowly, et cetera, et cetera. But as this thing happened, I mean, it's interesting to watch it, you know, just happen. Yeah. I mean, it's
yeah. Surprising. I mean, and there's a kind of a gap at the top in the federal
yeah,
government.
Kind of.
But in a way, that's not such a bad thing because the states have stepped up, the governors have stepped up, localities right. have stepped up. You know, I was just thinking, we're in our now fifth week of shelter in place in the Northern California in the Bay Area. We started this March 17th. Yeah. And it's helped. You know, we've definitely flattened the curve. Mm-hmm. And B, we seem to be doing all right. We seem to be kind of pulling through. And, you know, mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who, you know, unemployment's through the roof. But still, mm-hmm. I think we're trying. We might make it. I think we will make it.
So, yes. Anyway, yes.
Let's talk about Windows.
Right. Speaking of things that will make it.
Yeah.
Microsoft 365 is finally here.
For the consumer subs. Yep.
Consumer. So tell us about this, Mary Jo.
So you know how we had Office 365, Home and Personal? This is the successor to those two things, right? So now we have Microsoft 365 Family and Personal subscriptions. They officially launched yesterday, April 21st, even though they were announced a month ago. And so far, what they are is a rebrand of the Office 365 products. Microsoft already promised there'd be some new features coming. Remember, we talked about things like the Family Safety app and the new Teams features for consumers, Money in Excel, all those things. None of those things are there yet, and they say they're going to be their favorite thing. They're coming in the coming months, first in preview and then generally available.
Was there any update on the timing of any of that stuff?
No.
Anything?
No update. None. No.
I know the Microsoft Editor is available as a browser mm-hmm. extension for Edge or Chrome, although the quality of that is so bad. I might have pushed Grammarly, as I recall, whenever that first
perhaps.
Came up. Once or twice. It is still the much better solution. But I think that's the only new thing, right, that has
it's there now.
Occurred since the announcement. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So none of the rest of the stuff has shown up yet. And in the blog post this week, there was no update on the timing for any of it.
Okay.
So, yeah. But I did go back and make sure that my understanding was correct on how the consumer team stuff is going to arrive. And it
hold on. Don't, because I did this with Brad this morning. I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about this. Because there has been so much confusion around Teams.
Yeah.
You and I and people who are in the press got to see it wasn't live, it was canned, right? Or maybe it was live. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. But there was a video we watched where Yusuf Mehdi walked around and talked about the new stuff and what was happening. And mm-hmm. they never made that video available to the public, right? So
it is.
Today.
Zach Bowden tweeted, it's out now, the March 30th video.
So they should have all good. I'm glad to hear that. So it's a good video. It's if you're interested in this topic, you should watch it. But I left that with an understanding of what was happening with Teams. And then when they announced it publicly, like the next week, I thought they were a little confused on the messaging because depending on who you talk to, Teams for consumers was coming out today or yesterday. There would be no Teams for consumers. It's just going to be like Teams and they're going to add consumer features to it. There are consumer features for Teams that are being added to the business version of Teams, right? Yeah. There's all this stuff. So what was what was your understanding of Teams for consumers? I'll just call it when you saw that presentation, what did you walk away with?
Right. So if you only knew what they showed in the presentation, you would think there was a new product coming called Teams for Home or Teams for Consumers. That would be your impression based on what they showed. But it's not going to be like that, right? Instead, what they're going to do is add consumer-focused features to the mobile versions of Teams, so Teams for iOS and Teams for Android. And okay. if you already are a business Teams user, you're going to be able to switch back and forth between your work and your personal account to use either Teams for work or Teams for home. And if you are not already a business user, you're going to be able to download for free Teams for iOS or Teams for Android and sign in with your Microsoft account and just get the consumer features when they're available.
So what about the Teams app that anyone could download right now?
That's it. That's the app.
But I mean on Windows, like what how does this affect?
So they said absolutely nothing about Teams for Windows, the desktop version, or Teams, the web version. So we don't know if these features are ever coming to those, and they have not said, and they have, and I asked, and they didn't have anything to say.
Okay. So
nothing to say.
They always say, we have nothing to share right now.
Right. the way I would frame this for people is, because a lot of people that I heard from were very disappointed. They thought they were going to wake up yesterday and Teams would appear in the computers, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're familiar with how things like Outlook works, we can sign into multiple accounts, or OneDrive on Windows, you know, you can sign into your consumer account as well as your work account if you have one. Mm-hmm. That's how I expect Teams to evolve, right? That you will be able to, and that switching that you described, it will be the way that it works. I mean, I think that's what makes sense. So
it does.
It always seemed very far off to me, like the way that they said it. Maybe I'll go back and watch that video now because I'm a little curious. But it didn't seem like something that was going to happen immediately. It seems like something that's going to be maybe toward the end of the year even.
Right. And, you know, part of the reason I think people were confused, and we all were confused too, is when we first got leaks about this thing called Teams for Life, the way it was leaked, what made it sound like it was a separate product. Like there would be a new Teams application for consumers. Yeah. Like that's, so then we all started thinking about it like that, right? And then when they announced it, that wasn't how it worked.
No, it was more of a... there's a marketing phrase, really. In other words, Teams today pretty much is for work. Teams going forward will be for life. It's that work-life balance. Work, you know, it will have components of both. Yeah.
I mean, you could use Teams today for your own personal use, right? I mean, if you go and download the app and you have a Microsoft account and you sign in, I mean, if your family was crazy enough to say, hey, let's schedule like soccer practice using Microsoft Teams.
Crazy and, like a fox, Mary Jo.
right? You could do it, I guess.
What's the experience like compared to Zoom or Skype? Is it a pretty good experience?
It's not. So it's really not the same thing. You got to understand that what Teams is at its heart is a chat-based portal for collaboration. So
chat-focused.
Have meetings. Well, it's like Skype. I mean, you can, like Mary Jo and I on Skype, most of the time we'll type back and forth to each other.
Mm.
But you can do things like we're doing now. You can have a video conference. You could have an audio call like it's on a phone call. That's what Teams is and other things. But I mean, I think the primary interface, Zoom is literally, we're going to be showing you something.
Right.
Zoom is...
It's all video.
Nobody uses Zoom to chat with text. I mean, you probably could, but I don't, you know, Zoom is very much like FaceTime or.
So Teams is really more analogous to Slack.
Teams is like a whole hub, right? Like they have an app store inside of Teams. You can like add power apps. You could add custom apps and third-party apps. I mean, they want it to become almost like an operating system. Like it's a platform,
It's a platform. That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I've often, you know, and they, I've compared it to Outlook in that I think it could become the center of many people's days. And I think over time that has become more and more true. When it first launched, it was very much a Slack, you know, knockoff or whatever. But they have expanded the capabilities fairly dramatically. And they'll, you know, obviously they're going to keep on doing that. So, you know, yes, it is a platform. It's extensible. It's
funny because we're a Slack house. We use Slack all the time. We never use Slack for video calls. You know, it's it's because even though it can do it completely in the Teams thing, we have multiple ways to do for free. By the way, we already pay for Slack. We use Ring Central, which has its own version of Zoom. We don't use any of those. We have a paid Zoom subscription. Yeah. So I think the mind works kind of like puts these things in boxes.
It's the,
right?
It's, the right tool for the job, right?
So we never even think of it that way.
I wonder though, and we talked about this last week a bit, when once they add the consumer features to Teams, do they just kill Skype consumer? Right.
Yeah. And that's right. So this is the ongoing speculation. I think the answer has to be yes. This is not something they would ever admit to or discuss now.
No, they won't.
I mean, Skype is still a pretty
good
brand.
Skype has 40 million daily active users right now on Skype, in addition to the 44 million on Teams, right?
Right. But Teams jumped to 44 in 3 years. Skype has been around for 20 years or whatever. I mean, I think I made this comparison earlier, but remember when they went to Windows 2000, the boot screen said powered by NT technology, you know, I suspect we're going to see a powered by Skype technology thing on Teams for a little while, you know, to make this transition a little easier, but we'll see.
Yeah. Cause Microsoft has for a while been trying to position Skype differently from Slack and Teams, right? They've been saying Skype is more like WhatsApp or something like that. Facebook Messenger. That's what they wanted it to be. And how they kind of tried to grow it that way.
That's true. They failed completely because those things have a billion users each.
No, I know that's who they, whenever you say to them, like, what are you doing? Like adding these weird new features to Skype. It was always like, well, WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger and, you know.
Interesting.
So this coronavirus thing is, there's going to be a lot of fallout from this. And I think Skype is going to be one of the victims.
Really?
And because, because regardless of what anyone thinks about Skype.
Well, we use it all the time.
I think this has betrayed the fact that it has no great hold on anybody. Yeah. It's not, Zoom. I mean, I've used Zoom. Some of the companies we do calls with use Zoom or whatever. I've used GoToMeeting. I use all these different things. But all of a sudden during the coronavirus, Zoom is the only story.
Isn't that funny?
It's amazing. I don't think anyone could have predicted that. But if you're on Skype at Microsoft, you must be looking at that like, what the hell is going on? What is this?
I know. You know, so my family every Saturday now is doing a family Skype where we bring in people from all over the U.S., right? We've been using Skype. Yeah. And then last week, one of my nieces said, let's try it on Zoom instead. It works so much better on Zoom.
Oh,
like when we do it on Skype, there's all this stuttering and people getting cut off. And Zoom just worked. And I'm like, this is the problem right here for Microsoft, right?
Yeah. Wow.
My Zoom experiences have always involved dozens of people because it's like a virtual briefing, right? So it's a PC maker or some big company and they're presenting, but then they do like a live Q&A thing at the end. And, I think those guys, I mean, I don't know, maybe they host it themselves or they have additional controls or whatever it is, but it's always worked fine.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I mean, I think Skype might be part of the collateral damage here.
No, you might be right.
I think it already was kind of going that way, but this might hasten
the demise. Yes. That's right.
So what are we going to use for our show?
I know, right?
Oh. Right. Well, I mean, maybe it becomes Teams. A lot of this will just be rebranding. There are professional Skype tools and so forth. They might just rebrand that stuff.
Right, Skype TX, is that what it's called or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, but it's not going to happen overnight or anything. I mean, it won't happen until, even today. Teams is pretty much in the position where if you wanted to use it, you could as a person, you know. And no one would. I mean, you go where your friends are,
you
right?
You could, but no one would. Don't get me wrong.
As a person, like, hey, Bob, of all the ways we could communicate virtually, I was thinking we'd use this thing called Teams.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense, but.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. I think if you're using it, then you use it. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But if you're not using it, I don't know, Lisa says she does use, we Slack call each other all the time. Okay. Mm. So I stand corrected. I really do think that, the old Unix philosophy is one tool, one to purpose, and then you can daisy chain them or combine them, and it's easier to make a program that does one thing well. It's not the Windows way by any means.
It's so not the Microsoft way. They have a million ways to do everything in Windows or in all their, or like they have 20 kinds of planner products. Like it's like, we want to give you a choice.
I was thinking we could use another to-do app though. Maybe if they could throw another one of those.
Yeah, one more. You know what? You got to write a to-do app. You've done Notepad. It's time to do to-do.
You know, I would, except that like there were literally a million of them. It's like...
Who was it? Somebody said a program isn't done until it can get your email. And let's just keep adding features until it can get email.
I'm going to do an RSS reader and to-do app, a weather app. I got to do one of those.
Yeah, you totally have to. Yeah, if I don't get weather, what good is your app?
It's like I wrote a text editor, but up in the corner, there's a little picture of the sun or whatever. And,
Exactly. So my Office 365 personal is converted now to Microsoft 365. I'm not doing anything about it. And am I getting better features, new features, or just a name rename?
Well,
features are coming.
They are coming. Yeah. They are coming. Yeah. Okay. Someday.
And the good part is once they add these new features, you don't pay any more. So it's the exact same price as Office 365 Home, which is $9.99 a month or $99.99 per year, or Office 365 Personal, $69.99 or $6.99 per month. Yeah. Price stays the same, even though you get all these extra new things whenever they show up.
Good. That's good. Yeah. That's nice.
That's nice.
Didn't Microsoft buy something called Yammer? Yammer. People don't remember Yammer, but Yammer was like it was like the product when they used to use TechCrunch Disrupt or whatever.
Yep,
it was the product of the year 1 year.
Yep.
So
this is going to take over the world.
Yeah. Back at the time that right before Microsoft bought Yammer, I was heavily involved with that part of the company, and I was writing about enterprise stuff and everything. And Microsoft spent a year. And I don't remember what maybe Mary Jo remembers the year, but bolstering and improving and adding all these social features to SharePoint.
Yep.
And God, they talked about it, and it was the biggest thing in the world. And then one day they bought Yammer. And I was like, isn't this the same thing that you were already doing? it did make sense to me.
Well, we decided to build and buy. We couldn't decide.
So I was like, that's fine. I mean, Yammer... whatever is, they'll incorporate the Yammer functionality into SharePoint. That made sense to me, but they never did. Yammer was always like this separate thing. And so
they took underlying concepts from Yammer and they put them in SharePoint. But they never wanted to say that, right? Like they were like,
they kept Yammer as a thing though, too. Like I always thought that was weird.
Yeah.
So as we kind of move forward, like this is when this happened, SharePoint on-prem was the big thing. SharePoint in the cloud, whatever it was called, SharePoint Online, lacked all kinds of features because the infrastructure was different. They couldn't do extensibility, et cetera. So today, of course, the picture is reversed. And SharePoint is sort of the superset of OneDrive for Business up in the cloud. It's bigger on Office 365, Microsoft 365, than it is on-prem, I would imagine. It has to be. Yeah. And now they're bringing
Yammer's still there.
Yammer's still around?
I know.
Could you get rid of Yammer for frick's sake? Like, why is it still around?
It's funny. When I posted this story, I put it on our got list at ZDNet, and my boss sent me a note, and he's like, wait, I thought they killed Yammer. I'm like, no.
Right.
No, Yammer still exists.
This is like finding out that Hotmail is still running on free BSD.
Yes.
Like, what are you talking about?
Well, sometimes you just, if it works, don't mess with it. Does anybody use Yammer?
Yes. So a lot of enterprise customers and Microsoft itself use Yammer a lot. And so the reason they have it around is it's for broadcasting a message broadly, like one to many, right? Like Microsoft wants to put out a message to their employees and say, guess what? We're taking away your towels again in the washrooms to save money.
Yammer.
Best way to communicate that, Yammer.
We're going
to
Yammer at home.
You know, it's
have a yam jam.
Because isn't the word Yammer an insult? It's like you're yammering. You keep yammering, so it should be like broadcast.
They really
yammering.
They got to cut down on the brands. This is ludicrous.
Oh, hey, as long as Google is out there, Microsoft will be pure amateurs when it comes to this.
They will. They
really fair enough.
No. So, what makes this announcement for this week even a little more confusing? First, you have to accept Yammer still exists. Okay, number one. If you didn't know.
And that it's going to be integrated.
I don't believe in no ghosts.
Number two, They took the Yammer app and they built a version to work inside Teams. But did they brand it Yammer? No. They branded it Communities. So if you see an app called Communities, it's Yammer. Actually Yammer.
You got Yammer.
Yeah, but you know, right. You got your Yammer in my Teams. So here's my theory. I think this is going to be how they get rid of the brand. And I think that Teams is so important and is such a success that it will finally subsume this thing. Me that too. Frankly should have been, you know, retired a long time ago.
That's so sad when you're a startup founder and you get TechCrunch picks you as the startup of the year and you sell to Microsoft. You think, man, I am the next Kevin Systrom. I'm going places. And they go, that closet over there, you sit there and we'll call you if we need you.
I mean, when you get bought by Microsoft or Google or Apple or IBM or any of those big companies, you got to understand, you're going to be the smallest province in this empire.
Yeah, that's like, really true.
That's why
the Instagrammer founders left Facebook.
That's why there are lots of zeros in the check. It's how you get over that.
Well, I hope there were lots of zeros. Actually, I hope there were lots of zeros and an occasional ordinal number in there as well.
I just looked this up because I couldn't remember. 2012, they bought Yammer for $1.2 billion, which in 2012, that was a big acquisition, right?
Yeah.
That was big.
Okay. So they've got enough money to have a submarine and a yacht. So they're okay. They're okay.
Yeah. Right. They're not hurting. And then people look at the logo on the side and be like, did you used to work for Yahoo?
Wait, are you guys on Silicon Valley? Are you that company?
Yeah, exactly. Aviato.
Right. Yammer is the company from Silicon Valley.
Now, you know what's funny? At Ignite, I remember somebody leaked to me before Ignite. They're like, you know what they're going to do at Ignite? They're going to rebrand Yammer as Communities. And I'm like, oh, wow. And then it didn't happen. And I was like, oh, I guess that never happened. And here it is now. Instead, it's the Yammer app instead of Teams.
So it's Communities is that something that's going to be team specific? Or do you think that becomes the name wherever it appears? Because it could appear in
SharePoint for right now, Communities is the brand only inside of Teams. But there still exists like a Yammer app for Windows and a Yammer app for the Mac mobile. And they haven't said any of those are going away. And they also are not quite exactly the same as the Teams app. They're like the full-fledged version of Yammer and not the version that's meant to work inside of Teams. Yeah, I know. This is why we have jobs, as we say
every
week.
Even SharePoint and OneDrive, you could make the argument, should just be the same thing.
I know.
Right? I know. It's like I stepped on a crack in the sidewalk or something, and people around the world are shivering because I just, you know. But SharePoint
More and more, all the parts of, like, SharePoint always was this giant, I used to call it a Swiss Army knife, to be polite.
Not a multi-tentacled hydra.
You know, it had a little of everything in it. Right? A little social networking, little storage, little document
management
system.
Wasn't SharePoint one of the enemies in the Audius, the Odyssey?
Yes.
Multi-tentacled SharePoint. Don't let it look at you or you'll turn
your
stone.
You're going to use a mirror so you don't look at it directly.
They've got all these separate things now that are kind of taking over from SharePoint as separate products, right? So OneDrive took over storage. Project Cortex, this knowledge management thing, is going to someday take over the document management system part of SharePoint, right?
But there's like feeds and wikis and sites, and there's all kinds of SharePoint riffraff still sticking around.
But don't say SharePoint is going away. We have not heard that.
What I'm saying is it should go away. I've not heard anything about it going away. But
No, and SharePiners, we did not say that. So keep SharePoint.
Is that what they call them? Because they drink a lot of beer?
SharePoint is job security, right? I mean, can we just be honest about this thing?
No, you know what? I'll tell you. One interesting thing about SharePoint is all these people who know SharePoint work in the SharePoint org and also in companies where they're the experts inside their companies about SharePoint. They have this really amazing sense of camaraderie like no other product at Microsoft that I've ever seen. It's a thing. The SharePoint.
SharePointers.
Is it more of a complex than a community? like a,
they have like secret handshakes and like that kind of
secret thing. Handshakes, right? If anyone ever figures out that this thing is bogus, we're doomed.
They had their own mascot for a while, the caped flying monkey guy. Like there were a lot of things going on way before Ninja Cat existed. They had the flying monkey SharePoint guy. That was a thing.
Not a fan.
Just saying. So yeah, take your yam jam and know what you can do with it.
Did you just say the SharePoint monkey guy?
The flying monkey guy.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you said that, but then I thought, no, I'm hallucinating.
They had their little mascot. They had stuffed, caped
like
monkey
the
guys.
Wicked Witch of the West monkey, flying monkeys?
Not scary like those. It was more friendly and cute.
Oh, friendly flying monkeys. Of course. Who can forget the friendly flying monkeys? Okay, what else? So, you know, yeah, there was one reason that everybody uses Zoom, frankly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is, right? The custom backgrounds, which look like crap. People don't use very long, but they do love them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now.
Finally.
You've been waiting
for. Our national nightmare is over. No, not the coronavirus one. The custom background one.
So you can do that with Skype? Should we try it now? Go ahead.
Only certain versions of Skype. Oh.
Yeah, I was going to say, could we... Jeez, is that something you could just enable? I don't think so.
No. I think insiders get it first, don't they, Skype insiders?
Yeah. Well, the minute you get it, Mr. Skype insider...
You'll know.
I want to see you on a beach in Cancun.
It can't be the one that's the Windows 10, the one that comes with Windows 10, right? The UWP version of Skype is not getting the custom backgrounds for now.
Okay. Yeah, sure, of course not.
Yeah, of course not. Right. It's the desktop one.
You have to download. Yeah. Okay. You have to get the desktop client. God.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Does it really matter? Okay. Fine. Okay.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I'm not doing it now, but no,
you know what?
I'll look
at it. Love the custom background thing. Like on Zoom, when we did our family Zoom this past weekend, everybody was doing custom backgrounds. I admit, I had Sriracha in the background. Okay. Giant cat.
Oh, you had a giant cat in the background. That's funny. That's good. That's cute.
Yeah. I mean,
What? You're too great for that? You think you're too big a guy? You wouldn't put a Call of Duty background behind you? Come on, you would.
Yeah, I would consider it.
See?
I would consider it.
See? I knew you would.
See? I told you.
We'll get there.
We will.
Maybe for next week, we'll. What we should do is get a background that connects so that, like, our backgrounds.
Looks like we're in the same place.
Look like, same room, like it does right now, you know?
Yeah, yes. Right. Yeah. No, I think it's interesting because they're in the middle of redoing the Skype app, too, right? And going back to the Electron version or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
maybe that one will be the version that gets it.
Me too. Yeah. I think that's it.
It's goofy. But, you know, when the Windows 10 app, well, the Windows 10 app has gone through various iterations. Remember the original version of Windows 10? There were actually three separate apps, I think.
Yes.
It was a Skype video app, a Skype audio app, and then like, I don't know, chat app. I mean, I don't remember exactly how they did it. And eventually it became one app. And I really held off from it for a long time. I was very used to, remember one of the nice things about the old version of Skype is you could have multiple windows, multiple chat windows. Mm-hmm. So if you were talking to two different people, you could kind of, you know, all tab between them or whatever.
Keep it separate. Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, but eventually you kind of give in and then, and I think they added that feature to this version, but I don't even use it anymore. Like I just got used to the way the Windows 10 app works. You know, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finally get in there. I'm in the groove with this thing. And they're like, yeah, we're going to kill it now. You know, it's like
speaking of groove and killing. Yeah, good job.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep.
Next, you'll be kinning it. Okay.
He'd be kinning.
I was thinking about the kin.
You were? Why?
The product was ahead of its time.
It was so good. It really was. I dream of kin every once in a while. Whatever
it was
happened.
Cute.
No, you know what happened to it? Verizon happened to it. Yeah, Verizon overpriced. They put it on a full data plan. That was the only way you could get it.
Which was ridiculous.
What they should have done is had a cheaper data plan for kids. It would have been the perfect phone for kids. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
But there was a little hockey puck one, and then they had the candy
the hockey puck one.
Yeah, I thought those were – my son used that for a long time. He really liked it.
Yeah, hockey puck you?
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
While we consider
our
kin,
the late lamented kin. Oh, we hardly knew ye. Actually, I would like to have a kin for my, you know, I have this museum.
Collection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All sorts of failed products.
I probably have one in this house somewhere.
I have BlackBerry Pearl back
there. Oh, I almost certainly do, yeah.
The original iPod. I have the one laptop per child.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I have the Asus EPC.
You have my original iPod box in there somewhere.
I might.
I think that if you have the box, that came from me.
Thank you. It's right there next to my Webby Award.
I think.
Which is also pretty dusty.
I also donated a Lotus thing to you, too.
I have that right there. Yeah,
Lotus the disc-based Mac Suite from
Warper. No, what was it? Yeah.
What was it called? What was that thing called?
One of those big boxes.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah, with a really nice binder that opened up with the discs right inside and stuff.
That was a donation is a very loose term. you dumped it on me. No, I'm happy to have that stuff. I love that stuff.
Reverse hoarded it.
It's right next to my copy of OS 10, OS Symphony. 2 Warp.
Was it called Symphony?
Symphony. You want me to go get it?
Yeah sure.
I'll get it after the ad.
Yeah, it was. It's really nice.
It's beautiful, and I love, you know, having, so I can show the kids programs that had 43 discs in the box, floppy disks.
Yes.
You know, in the old days, you didn't just download.
The early IBM computers, remember they came with those binders with the pages, and
several.
They would ship out updates so you could, you know, replace pages and so forth.
Crazy.
Oh, God, I love those days.
Those were the days, my friends, we thought they'd never. Our show today, sorry. Singing, not good. We'll stop. Brought to you by ExpressVPN. You need a VPN more than ever now that you're working from home. In fact, if I were a business, I would insist that my employees working from home use ExpressVPN. And if they said, well, no, I don't want to use a VPN. It slows me down. You said, not this one, not ExpressVPN. Oh, I don't want to use a VPN. I like my privacy violated by my internet service provider. Nobody said nobody ever. ExpressVPN protects your privacy. And I'll tell you, you might think, oh, don't worry, Leo. I use incognito mode when I want to, you know, surf privately. No. Incognito mode just means no cookies are saved. Your internet service provider still sees everything you do on the internet. And you might think, well, that's okay. What are they going to do with it? Oh, I'll tell you what they do with it. They track you and they sell it to marketers. This is really a common practice. There's even internet service providers who insert new ads into your traffic. If you've ever, okay, and you'll know that this happens because if you've ever received, like you're browsing around and all of a sudden a pop-up that says you're close to reaching your bandwidth cap, how would they do that? They're inserting content into your traffic. That's why you need ExpressVPN. Keep them out of your stuff. ExpressVPN means you'll never see anything like that. They can't see what you're doing. All of your traffic is encrypted in a solid encrypted tunnel that is impermeable all the way to the ExpressVPN server where you emerge on the internet. And by the way, there's lots of other reasons why you might want to do that. There's security. So that nobody can see where you're going besides the ISP. If you're at a coffee shop and not using a VPN, you're nuts. Nuts. You're crazy. It also means that you can go to another country, emerge in the UK, for instance, and watch Netflix UK or emerge in Japan. Watch Netflix Japan. Works with Netflix, Hulu, BBC's iPlayer. Works with all the streaming services. So if you've run out of material to watch because you've been watching 8 hours of TV a day, don't worry. There's lots more all around the world. And because when you are coming out on the ExpressVPN server, you're using a shared IP address that thousands of other ExpressVPN customers have used, no one knows that's you at that IP address. It's completely anonymous. Not even ExpressVPN. This is really important. A lot of VPNs See, so you, what you're doing is you're kicking the can down the road. You're taking the responsibility for privacy and security and taking it away from your cellular carrier or your internet service provider at home and kicking it down the road to ExpressVPN. So you want to make sure they're doing it right. A lot of VPNs are worse than ISPs. Look, if it's free, they're getting something out of it. There's no way somebody's going to donate all that bandwidth and hardware to you because they're nice people. They're spying on you. They have been audited by third parties to make sure a couple of things. One, that their privacy policy is exactly right. It is. Two, they use this thing. They care so much about you knowing that they don't log what you're doing. They created something called Trusted Server. It's a VPN server. Spins up the minute you hit it. So it doesn't even exist until you get there. Then it runs while you're online, and then it spins down when you're off. And the whole time it's running, it's sandboxed so it can't write to hard drive. That's fantastic. That means they're not only don't they log, they cannot log. And the third-party auditor looked at the trusted server, said, yep, that's exactly what it does. It's a sandbox. They can't even write to disk. That's what you want. It also, because they're spinning these servers up, means it's really fast. In fact, I've often left it on by accident. I leave it on all day at the house. You can't tell you're on a VPN fast enough to watch HD video from England. So, yeah, it's fast. They've got great backbone connectivity. It's probably faster to watch Netflix UK on ExpressVPN than it would be without it because you're on their high-speed backbone to the UK and then out to the internet. So it's really – this. Everything they do is super smart, super right. When I'm at home, I don't go online without ExpressVPN. You shouldn't either. It's the fastest, most trusted VPN on the market. It's not just me. Rated number one by CNET, by Wired, by The Verge. Go to expressvpn.com/windows. You'll get an extra 3 months with your one-year plan. That brings that price down below $7 a month. That's a pretty good deal for the best VPN out there. It just needs to be in your toolkit. And by the way, ExpressVPN has one-button apps for iOS, for Android. I run on my iPad, my iPhone, my Pixel. It works on Windows, Mac, Linux. It even works on a router. In fact, that's probably the best way to use it at home. Put ExpressVPN on your router. It works on smart TVs. It works everywhere. ExpressVPN.com/windows. Learn more. Get the best VPN on the market. Protect yourself, especially now when you're at home. And if you're the boss and you're sending people home to work, you should insist on it. Say, look, it's, you know, use ExpressVPN. It's just the right way to go. ExpressVPN.com/windows. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking Winders. We're talking Microsoft. We're talking Surface. So are they going to do, they haven't said they're going to do a launch for a new Surface Go 2, have they? Or have they? Have they admitted
no,
that?
No, that would require communication.
But we pretty much know they are. Are they? Do we know how they're going to do it? Because I would love to cover it as a live stream. You think they'll be doing a live stream?
I'm doubtful. Don't know.
You don't think so? It'll be like a press-only event?
They're going to do it like they did that Microsoft 365 thing.
I was going to say the alternative is to do what Apple did recently with their devices and just announce them.
Press release.
Yeah, they could just put out a press release.
It takes some of the fun out of it.
It is.
I know.
It takes a lot of the fun out of it.
Right? I think, honestly, if I were Microsoft, there's a lot of people at home. They don't know. They're bored. They're watching Tiger King for the fifth time. Do a stream. They'll watch it.
I know.
It's a great opportunity.
Even a professional video.
Do that. You don't have to be live.
It would be fine, yeah. It'll be somewhere in there, I think.
Apple when they released that new keyboard, when they announced it for the iPad. Yeah. Craig Federighi, who, in his office all alone, you know, it's clearly, you know, I thought it was a great video. And it was instructional. It helped you understand what they're doing. I don't think that hurts.
So the use of Medi video that we've referred to a couple times on the show, which Mary Jo says is now available for everyone to watch. Where is that, by the way? Just on YouTube or whatever?
I don't know. I just saw Zach Bowden from Windows Central tweet that it's out and he put a link.
So I assume you can see it on, it's probably on YouTube. So that one is a little more polished than the Apple thing, but I agree. Panos Panay perhaps, or someone from the Surface team, whatever, sitting in their office like that Apple video and kind of informal, I think would be a really neat way to handle this. Because it kind of humanizes the whole thing. We're all going through the same thing together. Et cetera, et cetera.
The one reason I could see them the one reason I could see them not doing this is Panos really is somebody who likes to present to an audience, right?
Yeah, yeah, he loves that, isn't he?
I know. So I can't see him sitting in his...
But that's why this other video approach makes sense, right?
Yeah, because I can't see him just sitting...
I mean, it could be someone else.
Quietly talking.
Yeah, could you
talking.
Just him, though?
Hello.
No.
I'm Panos.
I can't imagine that, right?
And I'd like to show you the Surface Go 2. It's really
I don't
nice.
Know. Maybe he would do it.
It's like the regular Surface Pro, but it's smaller and it's terrible.
No, so this is interesting, though. Remember how they announced Surface Go 1? It was a total non-announcement, right?
Oh, that's right.
Like, they didn't even have an event. They came to New York, and I
yeah,
still remember
so
I was very mad.
The devices. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, you got to go see the devices. And then I found out you guys went.
Oh,
and so then
I called Microsoft.
I called Microsoft and I said, hey, I heard you're showing people Surface Go. And they said,
and you're doing it like 7 minutes from my house.
Right. And they're like, you know what? We have a very full schedule. And I'm like, if you don't let me come over, I'm going to break your embargo. Okay. You know, we just found an opening, Mary Jo.
I think it's took a moment to highlight Mary Jo's rich, and I mean rich history of blackmailing Microsoft.
It would be a shame if anybody was to break your embargo.
I mean, it would be terrible if anything happened to your embargo, if you know what I mean.
Like a video of them using it on YouTube.
Oh, my God. You are so tough. I love that.
No. And the reason I was appalled mostly was I'm like, wait, this is actually a really interesting product. It's a small tablet, portable. You're aiming it at the education market. Like, why wouldn't you want to brief more people and have a launch event? Like, why not?
If we can go back to the earlier topic. I think my post-coronavirus career is going to be a T-shirt that is a WWMJFD. What would Mary Jo Foley do?
Yeah.
And I think it's a winner.
Nice.
I always stay calm when I'm blackmailing them. I just
well, it's important. Yeah, right.
Like, you know, it'd be really terrible if something happened to your product.
I love this. You know, people sometimes think that women are the gentle sex, that men are tough and aggressive. That has not been my experience.
No.
My experience is we're wimps. And you really want to get something done. You push a woman in front and say, honey, can you talk to them?
I was going off on some topic that doesn't matter about whatever it was. And I was really incensed. And you know how I can really rant about whatever. My wife's looking at me and she says, just let it go. And that was the end of the conversation.
Okay.
And I was like,
okay.
It's just like,
she didn't sing it.
No, that was the end of it.
No, that's why going back to Surface Go 2, I'm like, guys, okay, you kind of blew it on the launch of Surface Go 1. This is your chance to make a bigger deal
out of this
product.
Yeah.
Well, it's gonna be Chris. Virtual again. So anything they could do beyond what they did last time would be a step up for sure.
What are they going to announce?
So we think it's going to be two models at least. One is another Pentium Gold. And one is a Core M3 model that's slightly bumped up in spec.
So the Pentium Gold was this thing basically made up by Intel for Microsoft's benefit. Did they ever do a Pentium Gold for anything else? No.
No, it's like, what do we have in the parts bin? Anything?
Can you paint it gold?
Yeah, let's call it, what do we have in the branding?
No, so they wanted,
oh, Pentium.
They
yes,
wanted to keep it. They wanted to keep it inexpensive. So for them, what's it? Surface Go, I don't actually consider inexpensive. I think when you add the keyboard pen, it's like $800, right?
Yeah, for what you're getting, it's expensive.
You know what, remember when Apple brought back the MacBook Air a couple of years ago, or you know, redid it finally, and they had kind of a unique, what was essentially like a Y series processor.
Yep.
So it was a step down from the U series, you know, core processors.
Still using it, by the way, and then the MacBook Air.
Yeah, no, it was fine for day to day applications. Whatever, it's fine, fine. Yeah. And then they just revved it again, and it's a step up from what it was, but it's still not quite the real U series processor. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you have to have a Surface Go product, which I'm not completely sure you do, but if you do have to have it, something like that would be so vastly superior, you know. Yeah. To this Pentium Gold stuff they had. It really hobbles the device.
And an M3 or M3, that's not that's just as bad almost.
M is basically, well, M is, it's, that's basically Y series, isn't it? Isn't it?
It's a step up, right?
It's a little faster than Y even? Okay. I have, for instance, I have the Dell XPS 13 and the MacBook Air side by side, same basically ultra form factor, very similar, but the Mac has the Y and the Dell has the U. Yeah. And it's night and day.
The XPS has like a quad core 10th generation. It's I7. Awesome. Like
it's really great.
Yeah, it is.
Well, of course,
that computer also costs $1,500.
Yeah, but the MacBook, side to side, the MacBook Air I had is 18. So,
I'm sorry. Yes.
Compared to a Mac, it's
Apple's
less
protecting
expensive.
The MacBook Pro. That's what that's about.
I guess. It's funny because I have both of them, and almost invariably, I'll go to the XPS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to pick up either one, and it's almost always the XPS.
But there's a Surface Go 2, though, is $500, right? I mean, it's a much less expensive.
The new rumor from Windows Central this week is it's going to be slightly larger than the original one. So 10.5 inches instead of 10.
The screen's going to be slightly larger. So actually, the device itself is going to be the same, but it will have like thinner bezels, right?
Exactly. Right.
Which is good. That's fine. That's a good idea.
Thinner bezels is good. There might be an LTE option, which would be good also. But otherwise, it sounds pretty much like Surface Go 1. It's going to supposedly ship with 10 in S mode, Windows 10 Home in S mode. Yep.
Oh, good.
Because that still exists too, just like
that's the Ever. That's they haven't given that up.
No, they have not. Right, so you assume that will be upgradable for free to plain old Home.
I think that's how that works now, right? It's always free now.
Yeah, it's all free now, right? Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of like an incremental update to the Go 1. That's what it is. Surface Go 2, as far as we know.
That's too bad.
Yeah. And then the other thing we think may launch separately, or it could launch together with this, is the Surface Book 3, which... Right. Also sounds from leaks like another incremental update, right? Like change in form factor.
Yeah, I mean, the form factor will be the same is what we're hearing. Yeah. The insides will obviously be modern. It looks like you can get some good NVIDIA graphics processors if that's what you want. So, I mean, that's a great computer. I mean, it's a portable workstation. Mm-hmm. It's kind of Apple or Microsoft's MacBook Pro equivalent, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little confused about Surface line at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So the Surface Go is the low end.
Yeah.
Right.
The Surface Pro is a tablet. That's at version 3 of the tablet. The Surface Book is the one that looks like a clothespin.
Hold on. So there's a... The tablet form factors, there are now three. Well, I guess Book is technically, but there are three tablets. So there's the low end Go. There's the Pro, the traditional Pro, which is in seventh gen. And then they have the Pro X.
Pro X.
Which is that new form factor. Right now it's
with
ARM processor.
In the, hidden in the crevice.
Yeah, if you want. Yeah, that's an optional keyboard. Yep.
With the have a laptop, which is what Mary Jo has.
Which is like the MacBook Air.
That's just a regular everyday laptop. And then the Surface Book is the one with the detachable screen.
That's right.
Right.
That's what we're going to update to 3. I'm surprised they're still doing that. I feel like, did that really do well?
No. The answer is unfortunately no. But it's a wonderful computer. I mean, the first gen was, unfortunately, was...
Yeah, you and I had that one. That was the bag heater. Yeah.
But they fixed that. It's fine. And Surface Book 2 is fantastic. I use a Surface Book 2 regularly. It's a beautiful computer. I never detach the screen. I don't think anybody does, but...
That's why I question it.
It is a really nice computer.
Is that a big market?
No. Well, what the market is not
creatives,
so much the detachable part. It's the... The workstation
the
part,
power.
Right? It's for people who are graphic designers.
What if they made? I mean, they don't make a two-in-one, right? One that folds over. They only make tablets and laptops and this weird hybrid thing.
Surface Pro, I would say, it's a two-in-one, right? Convertible.
Pro and Book both provide that capability. They just do it in different ways.
Yeah.
I think instead of the Surface Book, it'd be interesting if they did a two-in-one. I think there's more demand for that.
Yeah, like an X360 type device.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's
see, Microsoft has a little bit of a chip on the shoulder about this stuff because they like to invent new form factors.
Right.
You know, they went kicking and screaming to this laptop thing because, you know, everyone makes a laptop. Like, why are we going to do this? But there was a lot of, you know, a lot of people saying, look, it is a really nice laptop. But they, you know, the Surface laptop was one of the very first designs they had, and they kind of refused to put it out for a while because it was just too common. Surface
also, I think they also probably were at that point more sensitive about competing head to head with the OEMs. Now I don't think they care if they do.
That could be too.
Yeah.
So, by making oddball form factors, they don't compete.
Well, I think they're, you know, they had such a big hit with the Pro form factor. I think they.
Yeah.
Like any, you know, it's like the band, the one hit wonder, you know, you want it, you keep hoping you have another hit of some magnitude, but they just don't really seem to connect. And by the way, I want to be clear, with the exception of the Go, I'm not making any commentary about the quality of the products. I actually think that the Surface lineup is
solid,
mostly fantastic computers.
Yeah. I kind of wish the Go had more power, but I guess that's how they keep the price point low.
Well,
and the X, was the X kind of the idea is here's a Go with more oomph?
No, it was here's a more modern design. If anything, there's kind of less oomph because it's ARM-based,
right? Oh, that's the ARM,
The hope is that we see an Intel version of this at some time in the future because it's a thinner device, it's a bigger screen, and it has smaller bezels. And so it's more modern looking for sure. But it's ARM based, so it has its own special problems, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that that product line.
It's
amazing how confusing it is given how few different products there are.
I know. Yeah.
Well, it's expanded a lot too. Remember, they were basically only the Pro form factor.
Right.
Well, yeah, and we didn't even talk about the Surface Hub 2S. 2X and the Surface Studio and the coming
Studio. I forgot about the Studio.
Yeah.
Are they going to update that? So there's more products.
We haven't heard anything about a refresh of the Studio.
Oh, man, I loved
that. But they supposedly are doing a monitor. They, in fact, are supposed to do that this year. If they stick.
Oh, finally. With that,
but
with
it's
that
not
same
really
lean
the
back.
Monitor people think.
Oh, it's not going to be the lean back form factor.
I think it's more meant to be used in conjunction with their existing product family. Like it's like you wouldn't use it as a monitor for some other device, right?
Here's the problem. Anyone who uses a laptop with a dock and an external screen knows that if the form factor of that display is dramatically different, meaning resolution, pixel density, et cetera, when you switch between them, you know, your apps all resize, it looks garbagey, you know, it's terrible. For years, I've been asking Microsoft, ever since they moved to 3x2, have a 3x2 display of whatever kind with the exact resolution of whatever it is, 3000 by 2000, you know, would provide a more seamless experience for Surface owners to go between a desktop docking situation and a purely portable situation, right? It would just be it would just be perfect for that. But monitors are, you know, they're 16 by 9. So you've got this kind of cinema screen you're with, and you put your apps all over the place, and then you detach it, and you go to the square screen, and it's not always pretty, you know? Mm. So this is I can't believe they haven't made one yet, you know? And the year they put out that Surface Studio, I was like, guys, there's the screen. Come on. That's what we're asking for. We don't need the box. We want the screen, you know?
Yeah.
So here we are, 2004. We're here, man. It's April 22nd. You got another 1 week.
Yeah, so this happened right after our show, right? Like a day later or something?
Yeah.
Because we have been waiting for months. For some indication that this thing was going to happen. Yeah. We often talk about the cumulative updates, all the updating that's occurred since its release. I think they're up to 8 or 9 of those updates now. I don't remember. So this is official. This is Microsoft literally saying, we are readying this thing for release. I think they explicitly said that in the blog post.
They did.
By moving 2004 into the release preview ring, they are signaling that this thing, the next step is public release. So, God knows this could be in the release preview for 4 months. You know, it's Microsoft, but I think Mary Jo had called it on May, and I think that's an accurate assessment. It may be even Patch Tuesday in May would be the obvious choice, but.
So here's some concerning news. when I wrote about this last week, them going into release preview, I had heard from a couple people that they had a schedule ready to roll. So the plan was, as of last week, release it to OEMs April 28th, make it available to developers April 28th, and then make it generally available starting May 12th. That's Patch Tuesday, right? But I heard this week that schedule might be pushed back. And the reason is, I think in the last Patch Tuesday, there were some 0 days. One of them may not have gotten patched. They want to make sure, right. They want to make sure this is as up to date when it goes to an OEM as possible. So I'm not sure now that exact schedule will be held to. It may not, but they're calling this a May update still. So that's the new name. It was going to be the April update, and now it's the May update. So I would assume it's going to come out in May, starting to roll out to general availability.
We have a long history with Microsoft and their silly names and not matching up the dates and everything. So we're not going to get incensed about this. It is interesting that a 0 day can really throw a wrench into the machinery of their new plan. Like they've quietly tested this thing. They've updated it multiple times. They sat on it for a long time. We're going to make sure everything's fine. Here it comes. Oh, wait, what? You know?
That's the one thing they can't control, though, right? Like, because the longer you wait.
I'm not blaming them.
Right?
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No, and at this point, does it even matter how long they hold it? I mean, it just would be nice to give IT pros some heads up so they know when this thing is going to start hitting, like, WSUS and, like, when it's going to be on Windows Update.
Yeah,
right?
Well, the long-term servicing version of this is the one that comes out later in the year, right? So I actually think it is, you know, a lot of people have said, well, why don't they just, given what's going on in the world, just ship this thing now, don't ship this thing and just combine the two, you know? But honestly, I think shipping this thing publicly is a big part of how they ensure that the H2 version is all the more reliable and secure and steady and everything.
Exactly.
Because you have to get it out on real world computers.
You do.
And I don't mean that in a sense like those people are guinea pigs, whatever. But literally, you can have the best test matrices in the world. It doesn't matter. You have to ship it. You know, you have to put it on real computers. And so that whatever month process will help ensure that 20H2 is as good as that can be as well. So I think this is it's important that they actually do ship this thing.
Yeah. And also we should keep in mind, and everybody who listens to this should too, we're past the point where feature updates are tied to certain things that are in the development pipeline. That's why you can't say anymore fast ring means 20H2, because there may be some features in the fast ring that make it into that and some that don't. And now they're in a place with how they do engineering of Windows that they can backport things that are done, right? Like, so say they want to put a feature into something that's already done or that they're going to have in the future and they know when that's going to come in a certain branch, it's very much more kind of a malleable instead of like, this is a set of features that are in this. This is a set of features in this. They can play around with that more now because of the way they're doing builds. And so the one thing that's not, I don't think anyway with COVID, I don't know, but the dates inside for completing an update, it was, I think, December and June. That's what they do now in engineering, right? So the 20H2 set of features, it's going to be done in June, right? That's the cutoff for that.
Even
and then they'll be on to the next
set. October or November
exactly.
or whatever. That
exactly.
happens. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
I wonder,
how that works now.
It's interesting. When it was easy in the past with Windows 10 because you could say, look, we're in the insider program, we're on the fast ring, we're testing this version of Windows. And we're in the slow ring and we're testing this version or whatever it was. Yeah. It was easy. But I wonder if the experience with app updating, because obviously the Microsoft Store apps are on their own completely different schedule and they can be updated frequently, et cetera, et cetera. It's nice. I wonder if they looked at that and said, you know, it'd be useful if we could do this, but with OS features that were not store apps, you know, and maybe that it was part of the impetus for that change where, you know, it's not clear if you're in the fast ring, especially like what you're testing, you know, it's not, you're not necessarily today testing 20H2. I mean, you are, but some of those things might be pushed, you know, might be pushed out or pushed around. Or it might even be, like you said, backboarded to existing.
Could be.
So,
could be.
Do you, Paul Theriot,
yes,
wish to do an Xbox update?
I wish to never ever do another Xbox update. You mean for the podcast?
Yeah. By the way, I'm with you there, man. I can't play a game. Every time I go, it says, "Oh, hey, it's time for another update." Like, I'll see you in an hour. Okay, bye.
I'll tell you, I am only coping with this thing we're going through as much as I am, thanks to video games. The mindlessness of it is exactly the distraction I need.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
But as far as you know, what's happening this week? I mean, it isn't really too much. The most interesting thing is that Microsoft shipped system update version 2004. Right, so it sounds like it matches that Windows 10 version, which came with a new dashboard update. And it's like I actually thought this was coming in May. And they never announced it. It just came out. I'm actually wondering if something didn't screw up there. But anyway, it's out. So, you know, enjoy that, everybody. it's not really major, but it did happen. And then this is maybe a little more interesting, but Microsoft trademarked what we now believe will be the Xbox Series X. I wrote this wrong in the notes. Xbox Series X logo, which you will be surprised to discover is in the shape of an X.
What?
I know.
Oh, my God.
Crazy. But it's stylized and modern and flat. It doesn't have that, you know, it was always in kind of a globe, you know, and it would spin around and stuff. And they kind of made that flat with Xbox One. And now they've gotten rid of the circle part. It's more of just a stylized X. It's kind of in keeping with
fluent?
Their kind of modern. No, it's very, it's just flat. It's very,
it's just an
static.
X.
Yeah. It's an just X. An X. It is just an X.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all you need. What more would you need? Just an, is it a fancy X? Is an X pit with a, like done with a Japanese paintbrush X?
No, it could have been done with a calligraphy pen. It's one stroke, and then the backstroke, parts of it get cut off. I don't know.
Let's go to the tape. Oh. Okay.
I know.
I don't like it. Yep. I don't like it one cotton picking bit.
Is it going to be green?
It's like when Kentucky Fried Chicken turned into KFC, and it was like, really?
It makes me think that there's a railroad crossing ahead, and I better look both ways. Is what it makes me.
It's like a stop thing too, like a cancel.
Yeah, you know? It's not a positive look. It also has that kind of army stencil kind of feel with the letter.
Yes, there you go. Okay, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yep.
So all in all, now we're not sure, but they did apply for this.
Yeah.
So we're not sure, and you know who found it? Redditors.
Walking cat.
Redditors.
Who?
Redditors.
Oh, Redditors.
Love the Redditors. They'll find anything. You cannot hide something from a Reddit user. They will find everything. Yeah. They'll find things that don't exist most of the time.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Let's take a break. Then the back of the book. Yes, we're already here.
Yeah.
We're already at the back of the book, but I do want to pass along, I think, a real heartfelt message from our good friends at ZipRecruiter. In fact, I'm going to read it directly because they sent it to me and I wanted to quote it exactly. So this is ZipRecruiter talking. Right now, we cannot be overwhelmed. We have to work to keep our loved ones safe and protect our communities. We have to work to stay strong, to stay connected, to stay focused. We have to work to inspire, to innovate, to build new solutions. But for all of this to work, we have to work together. At ZipRecruiter, we connect employers and people every day. But today is different. We're partnering with first responders, government officials, the medical community, the innovators, and the manufacturing, transportation, and food distribution industries. We want to make sure we are finding the right people for the right jobs right now. And I'll parenthetically add, that's what ZipRecruiter does so well. Let's work together. ZipRecruiter.com/work together. ZipRecruiter.com/work together. Thank you, ZipRecruiter. And thank you all for supporting Windows Weekly. We're very grateful to our sponsors, to our listeners, to our hosts, because we are all working together right now to make it through this. And I, like I said at the beginning, I kind of look forward to getting together every day. This is given, you know, I actually come into the office because there's no one here, so it's safe for me to do that. But I just, it makes me feel a little better. So I'm grateful personally that I get to talk to you.
It's going to be weird to go in there with no one there.
Yeah.
I know.
You know, we have, I never even knew this, but they have automatic timers on all the lights. So there was always somebody here, so I never saw them go off.
Right, right.
So I arrive, it's dark, and then the lights come on. It's very weird. John's here. There's always so one engineer
outside of where
here.
You are, like lights are turning off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, it's weird.
That's just weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the whole, it's like you said, it's like zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, I am legend, you know.
When I was bicycling home, I went over to where our gym is, and that parking lot is always full. No one there.
Yes.
One security vehicle. I think they just parked it there to scare off.
I've done the same thing.
Yeah. One security vehicle. I looked in the window. I mean, it's spooky and sad, you know. It's just it does have that feeling, that apocalyptic feeling to it.
It does.
Yep.
Paul, you have a tip of the week.
Yeah, I was thinking with all this Microsoft 365 stuff going on that you know, people might be wondering. I'm going to be writing about some of the stuff you get when you pay for it soon. But, you know, Microsoft actually provides a bunch of things to anyone who has a Microsoft account. In fact, you might consider a Microsoft account as being a Microsoft 365 account, like a free Microsoft 365 account. So I kind of just looked around and I semi-complete list of what you can get. I mean, one of the big things, of course, is just the account itself. And you might create the account because you want to use Xbox or use Skype or you know, whatever the Microsoft service is, Outlook.com, you know, whatever. But, you know, they support multi-factor authentication. They support passwordless sign-in. You can sign into Microsoft apps on multiple platforms, you know, mobile, web, Windows, Mac, whatever. So you get all that kind of stuff. You get account sign-in pass-through on Windows to apps. So if you sign in to Windows with your account, which you can do, and actually they kind of push you in that direction, you will automatically, if you want to, sign into the Microsoft apps and third-party apps too, that are on your computer, which is kind of neat. So that's cool. But even in the context of like office productivity type stuff, you know, you get office.com, you get the free versions of the web apps, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, and then, of course, Outlook.com, which, you know, is email, calendar, contacts, tasks, et cetera, to-do is in there. You know, 5 gigs of storage is free. If you don't want to pay for Office or now Microsoft 365, you could pay for extra storage. I think 100 gigabytes is $2 a month, you know, but even at the free level, I mean, these are actually pretty full featured apps. You can sign into Microsoft Edge and sync your bookmarks or favorites, as they call them, addresses and contact information, password, browsing history, et cetera, extensions soon, between PCs. But also to the Mac or to mobile if you use the browser and those other platforms. And then, of course, you get the Xbox stuff, you know, Skype, et cetera. So there is like a whole, you know, I don't think a lot of people really think about this stuff. But if you haven't done it, I mean, I would at least go to office.com, sign in with your Microsoft account, and just check those apps out. I mean, it's surprisingly, they probably will meet a lot of needs. I mean, ultimately, for many people, the reason to upgrade to a paid version of Microsoft 365 is the storage, right? If you're really going to use it and you get a terabyte of storage per user, that alone probably justifies the price. But it is kind of astonishing, like how much you get without paying. And I don't think a lot of people kind of realize it, you know?
I know. That's what I use. I use the web apps and they are very robust. Yeah. Like people, when I tell people, try the web app before you pay for it because it might be enough for you. It is for me. So.
And by the way, a goofy aside is if, I don't know about the other apps, but in Microsoft Word, the version you get on the web is, from a user experience standpoint, more sophisticated than the version you get on desktop. It has that simplified ribbon. I actually, I think it's better. I mean, you don't get all the features for sure, but I like the interface a lot better on the web than I do in the real app. So the real app, whatever the real app is.
The real app.
They're all real apps, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So I have several app picks. I actually could have had a few more. It's been kind of a weird week, but I'll just kind of lump these all together. On the web browser front, you know, I talk a lot about the need to get off of Chrome. But there are a lot of Chromium-based browsers that are really good and have better tracking and privacy controls and ad blocking, et cetera, built in. We talked a lot about Microsoft Edge, of course, because that came out recently, and Brave as well, which is one. But Opera has offered that stuff for a while. They just came up with a new version today that has Instagram integration. They have a sidebar that does messaging service integration. So they added Instagram so you can access your Instagram account. And I guess the theory there is you're working a lot through your browser and you can just, you know, you complete a project or whatever it is and you do a quick peek, see what's going on with your friends and, you know, move back in. So that's kind of interesting. But the bigger update perhaps is Vivaldi, which is one we kind of forget about. But if you care about customization at all, this is probably the browser that offers the most in the way of customization. But now they've done all the anti-tracking, pro-privacy, and built-in ad blocking that you see elsewhere. So if you like the way that Brave or Edge or I think Opera handles that stuff, Vivaldi essentially has adopted that as well. And I think they're using the, what's it called, the DuckDuckGo tracker, whatever that tracker engine is called. That's the one they're using in their system. So it's something to look at if you care about that stuff. And then Stardock, which everyone knows from, you know, window blinds and all the great utilities that they've made, the Start 8, Start 10 stuff, the cursor, the sound utilities, they've done an amazing amount of work recently, has come out with this thing called Curtains. And Curtains is sort of a modern version of window blinds.
Oh, and God, would you want this?
Well, some people do want this. That's why it's so beautiful. So it allows you to skin the OS, right? But you can skin it to look like older versions of Windows.
It's Windows XP.
And they use XP as the big example.
It's
so interesting. Oh. I know. I don't want it myself, but what they were basically saying is that, like, there is a – because of the way they did dark and light themes in Windows 10, they have basically enabled under the covers the ability to do what they're doing. And they were able to bring back these old UIs, which is kind of
it's neat. I mean, I like theming. Yeah. It's fun to play with theming.
Yeah.
I would never make it look like XP.
No, I wouldn't. I think it's cool that you can do it if you want.
Yeah, you can if you want. And you know what? You can change it. It's easy to change. So, you know, have the Windows version of your pick each day.
I still use their cursor utility.
Love StarDock stuff.
Yeah, So every once in a while they hit on something where you're like, why is this not in Windows? Like, why?
Right.
Why don't they have this, you know?
I stopped using it in general. Some of the smaller utilities like StartX I loved. But I felt like I was making the interface a little less reliable. Do you experience that at all? Or is that – because that was a while ago.
I mean, I don't use the full suite of it. So I use on my development machine, I use that Curse one because it's actually really nice and for Visual Studio. I know it sounds stupid, but it's basically a bigger, cleaner cursor. So you get, you know, the mouse cursor itself, but when you're selecting text and stuff,
I like that, actually.
I really like it. Yeah. It has improved the experience for me. But, you know, they have that sets equivalent that lets you do tabs in application windows.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's something, look, not all of this is for everybody, but for people that really want to customize this thing to be exactly what they want.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff is just invaluable.
And most of them are $5, you know, or cheap. And the whole suite used to be, I don't know, about $60, something like that.
Yeah. Same thing. So they have Object Desktop and you basically get the whole thing, including a bunch of the legacy tools that they really – I don't know if they've upgraded them recently or whatever, but they have a huge range of tools. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one of the pleasures of using Windows is it's infinitely customizable, and so it's fun to play with all that stuff.
Yeah.
Enterprise. So, go ahead.
Oh, I just have that just as an aside, just so people know about this. You know, Fortnite is obviously one of the biggest game releases of all time. But one of the interesting things about it is Epic Games is run by like an insane madman, and Eric Sweeney, and he can't stand app stores and their fees and everything. And he took a stand last year against the Google Play Store. And the way this thing works on Android is you actually have to sideload it.
Right.
Which is a little uncomfortable, you know. I mean, not that I don't trust them, but it's not a normal thing for normal people to do and whatever. And so after about a year of distributing it on their own, they finally backed down and they're making Fortnite available through the Google Play Store. And I'm sure that will finally get this thing to succeed in a way that it never did before or something. But if you weren't using it because of the sideloading, you can now get it normally, I guess is how we'll call it.
He says that there's something that you're disadvantaged if you're not in the Play Store. I didn't really dig down on that. I'm not sure what the disadvantage is, except that you have to click this side.
It might just be visibility. I
don't get that.
Well, a lot of people, you know, I don't play games on my phone. Like, certainly not games like this. But when this thing first came out, I did go through the process of installing it just to kind of see what that was like. And I think people are just used to tapping a link on a phone to go download an app, and it opens the store and you get it.
Yeah.
And in this case, what you do is you go to the Epic thing and it says, well, this is what you have to do. And it's like, I don't know. You have to go into settings and say, turn on this thing where it says I can run unsafe stuff. And you're like, wait a minute, I'm already using Android. Why would I want? Like, you know, it just doesn't. I think for a lot of people, it just felt unsafe, you know. Even though this particular game, it was not, you know, I don't think there was an issue with this particular game. But when you're running Fortnite or installing Fortnite from a third party, it also opens up the possibility there'll be spoofed versions of it. You could be getting it from anywhere. So if you went to the wrong place and you just knew you were not getting it from the store, but you don't know how this stuff works, you might get a malicious app by mistake. So there's certainly, you know, a legitimate security concern as well.
Yeah. Enterprise pick of the week, Mary Jo Foley.
Yes, I don't think I've ever recommended this podcast for Microsoft Research before, but I lately have been reading through some of the transcripts, and this is actually a fantastic podcast series they're doing. What I like about this, there's a few different things I like. One is they have a mix of, they seem to be doing it weekly, and they have a mix of kind of, how do I want to describe it? Like higher end topics, like the ethics of AI and those kind of topics, which I don't really care about. Sorry. But they have a lot of really nitty gritty topics that they're doing in the podcast series about cutting edge technologies, not just things way out there in the future like quantum, but things that are there today that I never really understood. And then I read or listen to the explanation. I'm like, oh, wow, now I actually understand this a little, at least. For example, I was just looking at the Project Orleans one, and Project Orleans is a distributed database technology that I wrote about several years ago. And I wrote about it. When I wrote about it, I didn't really understand a lot of what I was writing. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to tell you what I found, and here's all these words and concepts. But when you read the explanation of really basic fundamental pieces, like here is what a programming framework is and why people build with a programming framework. I'm like, oh, wow.
Well, that's great.
This is great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's nice.
Like just like something that it makes it click in your head and you're like, now I understand this. And I know a lot of people who listen to Windows Weekly probably already understand a lot of these concepts, but I don't because I never studied computer science.
Well, but everybody, so for me, it's there's always like a gap. You will know a lot about one thing, but nobody knows everything about everything. So there's always going to be a gap.
Hold on a second there.
I know you do.
Well,
Paul,
except for Paul Theriot, but other than that,
No, I think that's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. And they have a lot of them. A lot of the episodes are focused on very specific pieces of AI, which I love because when we talk about AI, it's just like this big bucket or like add AI and stir, right?
Yeah,
but this goes into like, this is what Project Turing is, or this is what this algorithm does, or this is what AutoML is. And they really, really get deep into the heart of it. So if you care about these topics, all these episodes are free and the full transcripts are online. So just search for the Microsoft Research Podcast and you'll have a whole lot of things to listen to.
Nice.
Yeah.
Code name.
So Project Mocha is the code name of the week, which I got from somebody who watches Windows Weekly in Portland, Oregon, who asked that we not use his name. So thank you for the code name. Project Mocha is the code name for something we heard about from The Walking Cat a while ago called Outlook Spaces. So Outlook Spaces is this feature we think Microsoft is building for Outlook. And Outlook Spaces is this kind of canvas where you can pull together things like email messages, sticky notes, documents, and have them in a single unified project area inside of Outlook, I believe. It wouldn't be my way of working, but I know there are a lot of people who could see value in this. And it seems as though this is not a dead-end project. It seems like it's still active right now. The code name just showed up because people who got into the Outlook.office.com Spaces project when The Walking Cat first revealed it, they're now seeing in the URL bar Project Mocha. So maybe we'll hear something about this at Build or sometime relatively soon.
Neat.
I'm curious how it fits in. Yeah. Huh.
Mocha.
Like we say, Microsoft has so many projects that do the same thing or overlap. I'm like, okay, how are they going to say this fits in with other things they have in this space? But yeah, we'll
Mocha
see.
Mocha is already a technology acronym for
A lot of things, yeah. Right?
Well, for cable networking, okay. MOCA, something, the Cable Alliance, something Cable okay. Alliance.
Yeah, but, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also used to be the acronym for the Microsoft Dynamics mobile CRM application. It was Mocha.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
It's been used before. Multimedia over Coax Alliance.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
I need a beer. What do you say? I like this beer. This looks good. Just the name anyway. Yeah.
This is a very interesting beer pick this week. It's from Other Half in Brooklyn. It's called the All Together IPA, All Together. And what's cool about this is Other Half open sourced this beer recipe so that other breweries all over the world could use the same recipe and put their own spin on it. But the commonality is all the proceeds from this beer, All Together beer, are going towards restaurant and hospitality workers who've been affected by COVID.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah, if you buy this beer, all the proceeds from this are going to that. It's the organization is called Restaurant Workers Community Foundation. So all the full proceeds are going to them. And luckily, it happens to be delicious. It's an IPA, regular IPA, not a double IPA, with all the best hops. And Other Half is one of our best brewers here. So, yeah.
Nice.
You won't be sad, except if you're Paul Thurrott. To drink this beer.
He ain't an IPA
hater.
IPA
he
hater.
Hates IPAs.
I hate IPA people hater. Who like IPAs. No.
Okay.
Oh, even worse.
Let's be clear.
No, hold on. Oh, even worse.
Yeah, but I know it's starting to show up in other breweries and other markets. So you'll probably see it out in California too. Somebody will take the recipe and make it and use it as a benefit beer. Out there.
You know, I was randomly just looking at our old notes. We have notes in OneNote that go back to 2011. So we have almost 10 years worth, right? Yeah. And October 14, 2011 was when the Microsoft acquisition of Skype was approved.
Oh, wow.
Or was finalized.
You know, it'd be fun. You should go back. We could do 10 years ago on Windows Weekly.
Right.
You could talk about the top story of the week.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Actually.
So the first one is that I have in notes is August 4, 2011.
Okay. Well, we can start it next month.
We're
going to Build. Ain't going to Build this year.
We were talking about Windows 8 and Office 15 and Windows Phone 7.5.
Wow.
Yep.
Those are the days.
Mary Jo was going to the SharePoint Saturday, the conference, whatever that is. You've loved SharePoint for a long time.
I'm telling you, SharePoint and me, we're buds.
This is pre her Hadoop crush, I think.
Yes, yep. Exactly.
Pre Hadoop. We do Windows Weekly every Wednesday around 11 a.m. Pacific, as soon as I get here on my bathackle. 2 p.m. Eastern time, that's 1700 UTC. Please come by and say hi. You can watch us do the show live at twit.tv/live. There's audio and video. Number of different streams there. You can pick your favorite stream. If you're watching live, we got a great bunch in the chat room. And they're there, by the way, anytime you feel lonely, 24/7, there's somebody in there because, of course, you know, when it's the middle of the night here in California, it's the middle of the day in Australia and other places. So there's always somebody in there. And I encourage you to become a member of our chat room. If you're feeling lonely, there's always fun people in there. And they do a lot of little parties and stuff. That's irc.twit.tv. All you need is a browser to do that. But if you, you know, once you get a little more sophisticated, you can use an IRC client too. If you aren't watching live, in other words, if like you still have a job, I'm sorry.
God love you.
God love you. Thank you. That means you're one of the heroes. Go to the website and you get an on-demand version of it, twit.tv/ww. And if you still commute, oh my goodness, why don't you get that podcast client fired up and subscribe? That way you'll have it in time for your Thursday morning commute. And maybe the commute is just to the living room from the bedroom. If that's all, that's okay. Leave it on, though, because, you know, that's 3 minutes and we won't get much of a show done by then. Paul Thurrott is at Thurrott.com. That's his blog, thurrogood.com. He also writes books, The Field Guide for Windows 10, currently being updated for 2004. But if you buy it now, you'll get the updates automatically at leanpub.com. It's funny because I become aware of LeanPub because of you and lots of good books there. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of authors are using it now, which is great. Is that you or they're not a traditional publisher, right?
They just do the ebook publish. We went with them. We being Raphael and Martin and I, previous to LeanPub were. You know, you have to handle distribution with all of the different, you know, Barnes & Noble, Nook, I mean, Kindle, you know, PDF, whatever. It's just a manual process. And LeanPub, you know, they don't put it out to the other places, but it just makes it easy. They do the different formats. You get a better revenue share.
And I like your subscription model. And, you know, when you go there to pay, it says this is the suggested amount. Pay what you want. Yeah. I really like how it's set up. And it gives you the opportunity to add those posters. Which is great, to do updates automatically and stuff like that. So I think I really like it as a platform, and a lot of programming books are out there, technology books there. So it's good. LeanPub.com. Search for the Field Guide to Windows 10. Mary Jo Foley blogs at Microsoft at ZDNet, allaboutmicrosoft.com, allaboutmicrosoft.com. And we will see you, Paul and Mary Jo. Have a safe, healthy week. Wear your masks. Yep.
Enjoy the insides of your houses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sanitize your fireplace. And I'm going to just sanitize now, you know, because that show really kind of.
Yep. Probably just going to take a shower. But yeah.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Take care.